All right, we are on Bava Metzia. Today's daf is Ayin, but we are a little bit behind. So we are on the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis 69b. Shamin para v'chamor v'chol davar shu osa v'ochel mechta. That you can evaluate or set up this arrangement like we were talking about before with a bigger animal like a bigger cow or a bigger donkey. And anything that does malacha and eats at the same time, lemechta, for just the sake of half the profits. Presumably because the food that they're eating is itself sort of, it doesn't require you to do as much work, I think. Is that what that means? Yeah, I guess they do work for you. And I don't know if the ochel means they eat on their own, something like that. But the point is that they can give you the benefit, which is in place of any payment for your taking care of them, raising them. A place where they have profit splitting for the fetuses right away, which is 30 days or 50 days. We saw that yesterday. So then chokin. So then you split it right away. The havamin is that the owner can't ask them to continue raising the animal. In a place where it's expected that they continue to raise them, they continue raising. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shamin Egel Imimo Usiach Imimo. We've seen this already, that it could be all like a two-for-one type of situation, a calf with its mother and a foal with its mother. It's considered like one big iska, one big employment. Umafriz al sadehu.
Landowner may increase the rent of his field. It says in consideration of a loan he advances to a tenant. This is a completely different subject.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what the connection is, but there isn't. It's there. You're using a field to pay back a loan, or is it saying that you're using the field to add to the loan?
You're increasing the rent on the field as part of a loan. You're giving the tenant borrowed money.
Yeah,
they're paying $100 a month for the field. You can increase the rent.
Oh, we're saying that wouldn't be called ribbis. Increases. All right, we'll see what the Gemara says about it. Tanu Rabbanan, we're on the bottom of 69. Well, not really on the bottom yet. Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan Amar Fris, I guess we're skipping right there. I guess we already talked about the first part of the Mishnah. Ketzad HaSocher HaSasad Mechadero. If somebody rents a field from his friend, Be Asara Korim Chitzim. Rent a field and has to pay back, in place of paying back 10 kor of wheat, Lashana, for the whole year.
So that's the normal price, right?
Okay. V'omer lo, ten li masayim zuz. And the
tenant, the
person on the field says, give me 200 zuz in a loan beyond the rental agreement.
Well, it says here to expend on improving the land.
Okay. Va'afar nesana. And with that money, the 200, I'll be able to, you know, deal with the field, help grow the field. Va'ani ala lecha shnei masar korin l'shana, and then I'll give you 12 back. So that's mutter. That's not considered ribis because it's not for the sake of paying back the loan, but rather for the sake of paying back the actual work that he put into the field, or the stipend that he got to work the field. Avam ein mafriz lo al chanos v'lo al sfina. But you can't do that I guess that's what we're talking about. You can't do that
with a steward. You can pay him the rent because it's the equivalent to renting a better field.
Mm-hmm. But not for a store or a boat.
Because the...
It's not for the sake of making...
The value of the ship and ship are not increased.
Right. Meaning that when you pay more for the boat or for the store, you're just paying more.
Well, the Gemara is going to say that this doesn't always work.
Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuah, Pamish Mafris Al Chanos, Latzor Batzura, Svina Lasos Las Iskaria. Sometimes you use the store to make it, to beautify it. You can, you know, make pictures on the walls and the boat. You can make windows or blinds. Mast. A mast, okay. Chanos Latzor Batzorza, says the Gemara, in order to beautify it with pictures, the store, Ditzavu Ba'inshi V'Have Agra Tfei. People will like to be there more, and then the...
Then it makes sense.
Oh, this is just explaining it. Yeah. The rent is going to go up, and that's just like the field getting better. Sfino Lassos Laskaria, Kevin de Shapira Iskaria Tfei, Agra Tfei. Because the mast will be better, so then the use of the boat will be better. And you'll get more money out of it, I guess. Sfinta, when it comes to the boat, Amarav Agra Upagra. So does that mean he's allowed to? More and less? Agra Upagra? Even
when
though
the higher ship at the less he is risk in case it is damaged or sunk.
Damaged or, I guess, lessened in value is what I have, I think. Yeah. But, hold on. Is this a new concept?
Yeah, I think this is a new concept, just because we were talking about ships.
Okay.
But I think the idea is here that you can make an arrangement. Normally, a renter has relatively...
No liability.
No liability.
And here he's accepting all liability.
Except for negligence.
Okay, and therefore what? If he accepts responsibility for any uptick in value or any decrease in value, so then that's not a ribbis thing? Who's saying this and who's getting money for this? It's a sfinta. If he's renting a boat, mm-hmm. Rav says, agra upagra. He's allowed to what? The owner of the boat is allowed to get money? Or the renter of the boat is allowed to
the
get more money?
The renter is allowed to pay, to take a deal where he both has to pay the rent and he has to accept responsibility for the damages, which is not normally the case for
okay. Rent. So you're just saying that randomly? Okay. Amalir of Kana Ravasilirav. I agra lo pagra. Why would that be okay? If he takes money for...
If he's paying rent, he shouldn't have to pay for damages. He's a renter.
I agra lo pagra. I pagra lo agra.
This is, believe it or not, a real issue in modern 21st century accounting.
Agra.
If the lessee takes a risk of loss and certain other risks while paying rent, is it a real lease or is it a loan or is it a disguised loan?
Okay, we got to move. So if he's accepting the risk of the loss, so he shouldn't be taking...
He shouldn't be paying rent because then...
He shouldn't be paying rent for it. Okay.
Then it should be considered a show-off.
Right. Then he's just someone taking care of the boat. Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet because he didn't find an answer to that question. Number of Shashas, my time is Shasik Rav. Lo Shmiel Hadatan doesn't know the Brayz to Afa Pisha Amru Ein Mekavim Tzon Warzim Yisrael. Even though, which we're going to get to soon, maybe, even though a person... you can't take from another Jew tzon barzel, which is absolute property, in a way that you're accepting upon yourself all responsibility, and give you have to give back to the original owner everything. Everything, even if it goes down or it goes up. Or if, even if it goes down or completely gets destroyed. But if it goes up, you have to split it. That you're not allowed to do that. Because you can do that with non-Jews. Because there's no Isser of Ribbis with them. Aval Amru Hashem para lachaver of Yamar lo hare parascha suya lai bishloshim dinar. If he says to him, if he makes one of these arrangements that we've been talking about, raising the animal, and he says to the guy, the owner, your animal parascha suya lai bishloshim dinar, I'll give you 30 dinar. If I can't give back the animal, and I will give you as like a rental thing, a sella for a month to use the animal. So then that's mutter. Because it's not like you made the animal, I guess, in proportion to the money. And therefore, it's not like a loan. I mean, you're not treating the animal like an actual merchandise that you have to give back the exact price of the animal, that you have some kind of different rental agreement, and I guess really rental for work agreement, you're using it for yourself. Veloasa, says the Gemara, veloasa, veloasa, I think it's a question. Veloasa, did you not make it into money? It clearly is made into money. You said it was 30, he's going to give you sella. So Amar of Sheshes, lo asa dami mechayim elo achar misa. What the Brisa means is that he's not going to make it into money while it's alive and while he's using it, but rather it's only after it dies that it's going to be worth money.
It goes down in value, tough.
Right.
He's not responsible for its fluctuation.
Right, and therefore it's not a value-based question. Okay, so Amar of Pav Hilchza, Svina Agro Pagra. And Rav Papa says we pass on like Rav, even though Rav didn't have an answer to it. You're allowed to take the rental for the boat, even though he accepts also responsibility for it breaking, because if it's already broken, you have to pay back the whole thing. V'nagu be'kofra, agra b'shas mashicha. And these people of the boats, b'nei kufra,
ship owners,
they pay the rental. Ship owners, v'nagum ne'kufra agra b'shas mashicha, they ask for the rental money at the time that they give it over.
So unlike when we said before that most things, the rent isn't due until the end of the term.
Right. Yeah.
By the boat, you can get your money. The renter can
beforehand.
Get his money at time
the. Right, and pagra b'shas shvira, and then you get the money for the loss of the boat afterwards. Obviously, I don't know why you would pay for it beforehand. Atu b'minhaga talya milsa. Is it really based on how people, what the minhag is? Rather, mishum demas nisa tanya minhaga. The reason why that's the minhag is because that's what the Braisa says. Okay. Rav was just explaining that they follow what the Braisa said. Okay. Amra venan, amra shmoa mal sheli soma mutzul alvos and beribis. When it comes to money for orphans, that they have some kind of agent working on their behalf. So you're allowed to take a loan from them.
And pay them interest.
With interest, so that the orphans get more money. So Amalir of Nachman, Mishum Diasminunu Svina, Safina Luhu Isura. Because they're orphans, will allow them to do Isurim? Like, what does that mean? Yasim Dachlu Lav Didhu, Lays Lu Basar Shivkaihu. Yes, may the orphans are eating the money which does not belong to them, like ribbis. Lezlu basar shivkayu. They should go based on
their
father?
They deserve to die also.
That's what that means?
Yeah.
Lezlu basar shivkayu.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. Meaning they would be deserving of penalty consequence for doing such a thing. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Anan, or continues to say back to Rav Nan, Emali Izu Gufa de Uvda Hechi Abda. Izu? Let's see how this thing happened.
Tell me how. What was the
actual There's a story case. Behind this.
What okay. Amarle, Rav Anan, I guess Rav Nachman is asking him, tell me what happened. Amarle, Hahu Duda, there was once a
cauldron.
Dibnei Mar Ukva Hadahava Be Mar Shmuel. It was a cauldron that belonged to Mar Ukva.
To Mar Ukva's children. Mar Ukva died. His
Right, but it was in the house of Mar Shmuel?
And Mar Shmuel was taking care of him. Mar Shmuel was the administrator for the on behalf of the orphans.
I thought this meant that he had the cauldron.
That's the way they have it here, that he had the cauldron.
The cauldron belonged to
the orphans, and Shmuel had it.
The cauldron belonged to Mar Ukva, and now his kids have it, but the thing was being taken care of. The cauldron itself was in Mar Shmuel's house. Yeah. Okay, I guess he was renting it, or he was...
He waited before hiring it out and waited when receiving it.
And and Shmuel was renting it out. So it is like Leonard was saying.
Let's go rent that.
I don't exactly know why, but Takav Yayavle, Takav Ashakale, he would... What does this mean? He would
charge both based for on its hire, for its use, and for its loss of weight.
Okay, meaning he would weigh
weight,
it.
I don't know.
Because when you cook with things, you know, it chips off or whatever, deteriorates. Takav Shakale, Shakal Agra, he would take money for the rental, Vishakal Pchasa, and he would also take for the loss, the decrease in the value. I Agra, so we're asking this question like we did on Rav. I Agra lo Pchasa, Vipchasa lo Agra. If he's taking money for the rental, so then he shouldn't also be taking money for the lessening of the item. And if he's taking money for the lessening of the item, so then
he shouldn't be able to.
He shouldn't be taking rent for it. Right? If you're taking lessening, so that's like a shomer. The guy has to pay you back for whatever he loses or decreases in the value. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says to Rav Anan, Kiha afilubit kanane. Nami Shari Lemavad. In this case, even if
forget about orphans, even old men.
Right, even older people, Dikanane, like Zakanim.
Bearded men.
Right. Vidkanane Nami Shari Lemavad. That's okay. Daha Makabli Alay Chuschadin Chasha. They accepted upon themselves the lessening of the value. Dikama de Mikle Nachasha Batsur Dame. Because to the extent that it lessens, the metal is thinned out, so then it goes down in value. The item's usability is, I guess, utility is down. And I guess the literal metal also is worth less. Okay, so that has nothing to do with the case, or that should have nothing to do with orphans, and also has nothing to do with ribbis. I guess we're trying to say that we allowed Shmuel to use both Agra and Pchasa, to collect in both Agra and Pchasa for the sake of the Yisomim. So it's not real ribbis, it's really just sort of double dipping, if you want to say that. But Rav Nachman says back, that's always okay. Okay, so Amar Abba Bar Shila Amar Rav Chisav Amar Lera Amar Amrila Amar Rabba Bar Yosef Bar Chama Amar Lera Sheshes Amar Rav Sheshes Moshe Yisom Mutzla Avosim Karov LeSachar VeRachok LeHefzik. Does that mean basically you can make deals that are very low risk but high reward?
Orphans taking a share of the profit, but none of the loss. This is forbidden to adults as indirect interest, and the rabbi prohibited it in the case of orphans.
So this is midrabbanan.
Might be reduced to penury if not, etc.
Meaning there's no risk, all reward for the yisomim.
Right,
which makes it looks like ribbis.
Right, for adults it would be forbidden midrabbanan because it looks like ribbis. But we're going to allow this for the rabbanan allowed this for the orphans.
Okay. Why is I don't know what the kind of arrangement could be. Well, let's keep reading because it's going to talk about it. Tanur Rabbanan Karav L'Sachav Rachel L'Hafsek Rasha. Someone who does this is called a Rasha. It's avak ribis. You're over the karlu hafsid v'rachlu sachar chasid. Someone who's willing to take more loss and not the gains is just a chasid. Well, I don't know how this works because I really don't understand how it works. You're giving a loan, and you say to the guy, "I only want to pay back the loan if I make money."
I mean, in the context of what we're talking about, it's what in modern days is called a net lease, where you take the
principal,
the lessor takes none of the risk. Anything that
I know, but why would anyone give that kind of loan?
It's done all the time.
But why? We say like the one who's lending is not making his money back.
You want me to give you a discourse into account?
No, I just don't understand. Why would anyone give a loan without getting money back?
Well, he's going
to... It's not a loan. He's renting.
It's a business agreement.
It's a
rental. Okay. A rental for what? Like a piece of land?
Or for a copper pot.
So the copper pot. You give them the copper pot and you say, if you make money, you can keep it.
Or an airplane.
No, if you make money, you...
You can keep the profit. But if the thing goes down in value, you don't have to pay me back for it?
But the typical way it works,
I don't know how
you have to pay regardless. You pay for the rental on the ship, and if the guy doesn't get use of the ship because it sank,
right,
he doesn't get his money back. So the lessor gets all the profit, none of the loss.
Okay, there's no liability.
The guy who's renting the ship has to pay for the loss of the ship and doesn't get the value of his rental. I mean, I'm talking about all the... We have lots of profits
right,
and losses. Here we're talking about rentals.
Okay, so here, if somebody... The chassid case is someone who rents it out. Someone who rents something out. Or no, loans something out. I have here loans. He loans something out and it's... And he's accepting upon himself any of the loss, but is not asked for any of the profits.
Lessor accepts the loss, but no.
No, this is the chassid case. Karol lehafsev rachluk sachar means, doesn't it mean that he's going to lose out and he's not going to take any of the profits? That's a chassid. Can only lose and he can't make any money. Karo lezev lezev, somebody is willing to take the risk and the reward, so then rachok mizev, or he's not accepting a lot of the reward and not accepting a lot of the damage or the loss, zohi midas kol adam, that's normal. If you're consistent in both ways. So only rather those of hani zuze diyasme hechi avdinan lehu. So what do we do with the orphans again? What do we do for them? Amar lei mosvinan lehu beidina v'yavinan lehu zuza zuza. We put them in Beis Din? We put the money in Beis Din?
Given to the court and paid out to them coin by coin.
Oh, we want to make sure that they don't waste the money?
Mm-hmm.
Amar lei v'haka kalya karna. In that case, they're just going to spend through all the money.
We're not going to invest it for them. They're going to eventually use up they're all
just,
the money.
Right. It's just going to be like, just eating it up. Amar lei, my mar hechi avid. Amar lei, Rav Yosef says to Rab, okay, so what would you do? Amar lei, bad kinan gavra. We'll look for a person who's wealthy. De isle dava puricha. He has broken silver. V'naktina dava mine. And we'll take the silver like a collateral, the avinan luhuniale, and we'll give him the money of the orphans in exchange of those gold coins. Karol l'sachav rachul lehafsik, that all of the responsibility is on the wealthy guy who's going to use the money and invest it in some way. I guess we're investing in him in some way, that he's going to make some money in order to get money for the yisomim. Aval davar mesuyam, but if he doesn't have any, broken pieces of silver, he only has like real, items, so lo, we shouldn't do that. Dilma pikaron inhu, lest they be considered a real collateral. V'asimare yaiv simanin v'shakule. And the person who, lest they were a collateral to him. Someone gave it to him as a collateral. and then someone will come and take it. Like, we're worried that the Yesoma is going to get ripped off if the item that they're holding is going to then come and be collected by somebody else. So Amar Rav Ashi, Tenach, Im Ishtakach Gavra to Islay Dava Pricha. It works if you have somebody who has broken gold coins. Ilom Ishtakach Gavra to Islay Dava Pricha, Nich Luzuz Did Yasmi. So then they're just going to lose their money. Again, that's not a foolproof solution, because how many people are there like that that just have gold coins laying around? Ela Amar Rav Ashi, or pieces of gold. Chazin and Gavra to Mishapu Nichse. Find somebody whose money is already like stable. He has no people that are making any claims against his money. Umeheman, and you just believe him. Vishama Dina Daraisa. He's a believed person, and everyone.
And we know that
listens to Din Daraisas. Ulam Kabbal Shamta Darabanan, and he hasn't been excommunicated. So then you can take a real item of his and use it as an exchange for his investment in him, with his stuff in the basin. Okay, an interesting way of doing things. It just means like you invest the money with security. Ein mekablin son barzel miYisrael. This is on Ayin Amidays. You do not accept. Speaking of, you do not accept items from a Yisrael. Mibneshu ribis, because it is ribis drabanan, because the person who's accepting the item is accepting all of the achrayas, the liability of the item itself. So then, it's not really a pikadon, rather it's a hava. You're just taking a loan for an item, with an item. And what? So what's the problem? Someone explain to me the problem. That you're taking an item, and that item might go down in value? Or my club in value.
Right. He says one partner supplies the capital, the other one's managing the business. Although the profits are going to be divided between them, the managing partner is responsible for all of the losses. If the original capital is in the form of goods, its value is assessed at the time it was supplied, and the recipient partner is responsible for this assessed amount, irrespective of whether the venture succeeds or fails. The financing partner receives his share of the profits until the capital is returned to him. Thus, the financier stands only to gain, but not to lose.
Okay, so the guy is giving money and an item?
No, he's giving an item.
He's giving an item.
Cash.
Oh, the financier is the one that's giving the item. Okay, so he's giving somebody, I don't know, a car. And that car is going to be used for Uber rides. And the profits from those Uber rides are going to be divided between the driver and the owner of the car. And we're saying that that's ribis because why? Because the Uber, the owner of the car, is not doing any of the work. So then he is getting ribis from the fact that the guy who's doing all the work is not getting paid beyond. We already talked about this. Why is this any different than, I guess it's not money. This is just items. You're allowed to, whether it's a non-Jew or a geratoshav, not a convert, but a person sitting in living with, among the Jews, Jewish community, is also allowed to. You're allowed to do ribbis with them. Malve Yisrael ma'osav shel oved kochavim. A Jew is allowed to charge interest on if he's taking care of a non-Jew's money. Mi das ha'ovik kochavim, assuming that the non-Jew knows about it. Va'alo mi das Yisrael, but he shouldn't do so with the understanding of the Yisrael. I guess that means taking Yisrael's money and charging ribbis to a non-Jew. So when it says lamemra, does the Mishnah mean to say that when it can't take this item, tzon barzel, from Yisrael, de birshusa de mekabel kaima? Does that mean that it's basically in the ownership of the recipient? And therefore it's ribbis to accept it? Accept the profit of it? Or minhu? Hamakabal tzon barzel min anachrim v'lados peturim min ha'bechorah. If somebody accepts tzon barzel from non-Jews, and that meaning tzon barzel here, let's say, is like an animal, and the animal gives birth, so then you do not have to, you're not responsible to give that animal, the newborn animal, as a bechor, or treat it as a bechor. This is presumably because it's not yours. It's really the non-Jews. So Amar Rabbi Elokasha, ha, demekabel alei unsa vezula. In the case of the Mishnah in Bechoros, it's because he accepted upon himself all of the liability and the decrease in value. Ha, in our Mishnah, where it says it's aser to accept it from a Jew, it, because of Ribis, to lo kabel alei unsa vezula. He did not accept upon himself the liability. So then what's the problem with accepting it? I thought that was the whole problem, that he's accepting the responsibility for the loss, and therefore the financier is not, doesn't have enough skin in the game to avoid Ribis. I'm not really sure. Yeah, I guess, are we talking, I don't know if we're talking about the giver or the taker.
You're talking about the first case?
Yeah. The one who's taking, in Mekamen Sombarzom Yisrael, you don't accept the animal or the item from another Jew because the one who's giving it, not the acceptor, but one who's giving it,
has no risk.
Has no risk. I guess that's what it's saying here.
The recipient is assuming full responsibility.
So when we say Delokabel Alei Unsa, we're not talking about the Mekabel, who's, we're talking about the owner. Yeah, the no sin. Yes, okay, sorry. The one who gave it, it didn't accept as any responsibility, whereas the case of the one in Bechoros, it's the Jew who's getting it from the non-Jew is accepting all the responsibility. So really, the Bechor or the Kinyan follows anyone who's accepting all responsibility. Amalei Rava, I dekabalei mara unsa vezula, tzon bar zekaris lei. If he's accepting all the responsibility, is that really called tzon barzel? Tzon barzel is when you're only giving an item, and not going to lose out on it. The ode, aditani seifa, tzon barzel is basically like, I'm giving you this, it's basically value, you have to give me back that value. But if the person is accepting a chrayas, so then he's not giving back that value. I guess he is. If the owner that's giving it is accepting responsibility, so then it's not tzon barzel, because then he's not going to necessarily get back the whole value. When it says afterwards that you can get it from the non-Jew, you can take this item from a non-Jew, liflo bidei, you should have explained or clarified,
why do we even have to talk about the non-Jew? It would have just been easier to say
Achrayas, not Achrayas.
Right.
Yeah, if you're accepting Achrayas or not. Elamareva, idvi idi delo kabalei mara unsa vezula. It has to be a case where neither of them accept responsibility. So what's the case of Bechoros where it says that you're not chayiv if you take it from a non-Jew? Hainu tam divlados betumen abechora came into di lo yahiv zuze, that if the end of the arrangement, the recipient, meaning the Jew, is not going to pay back to the non-Jew, asinachri tafis le lebehema, they're going to take the animal back. V'ilo mishkach la behema, if you don't have the animal, tafis lehu levlados, they'll take the fetuses or the children of the animal. V'havale yad nachri be'emtza, v'chol yad nachri be'emtza, patrimon abachora. Oh, basically what it means is the non-Jew has some kind of stake in that animal. Not necessarily the animal itself or maybe the child, but the point is that the non-Jew is involved in the ownership of this animal, and when the non-Jew is involved in it, so then there's no bechor. It's just a drasha from pasuk, I guess. You only have to give a bechor if it's a Jewish animal.
I think that's what Jewish farmers do nowadays when they have pregnant animals. They make sure the non-Jew has a little type of thing.
Yeah.
Has a little share in it.
Right. So that you don't have to be obligated.
Because the problem now, what's the bechor?
Similar to like heter mechira kind of things with land. Mar b'hono b'neshech v'sar b'zchon yandalim, you could send a pasuk in Mishlei. Mai l'chon yandalim, to give gracious to the poor people. Amar Rav, could go and shavar malka. That's referring to a king who is what?
King Shapur, who will distribute the money to Gentiles.
Oh, meaning poor people that poor from mitzvos. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, lo nitzcha eladafilu ribis ovichavim. it's referring even to ribbis of non-Jews. That what? The pasuk is only talking about giving ribbis, non-Jews charging ribbis to a Jew. Lo nitzricha ela dafilu, sorry. Lo nitzricha ela dafilu ribbis dovi kochavim, that the Jew can take ribbis from a non-Jew. That's choni and dalim. Okay. Esavei reveler of Nachman, lo nachat tashich, my tashich, lav tishoch. Doesn't that mean that the Torah means that you're allowed to take ribbis from a non-Jew? Meaning you can lend them with ribbis? Lav tishoch, you should do it. Lo tashich, meaning you should give ribbis to a non-Jew. So lo sagi lav hachi, it's not just, and it must be that way. Lo sagi lav hachi, must it be that way? Lafuke achicha delo. It just means...
It doesn't mean you're required.
It doesn't mean you have to charge interest or you have to take interest from a non-Jew. But what it means is that you shouldn't do that with a Jew.
That you may do it with a non-Jew as opposed to a Jew.
Right, you're allowed to. You don't have to. But the Gemara says, Achicha behejekasav ve'lachich lo sashich. What do we need a pasuk from about non-Jews, the implications of it? You have a pasuk that says you shouldn't do it with a Jew. La'or levasav ve'lo sasei, to be over both in Isser Asay and Isser lo sasei. All right. We'll stop there.